Log Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. My name's Tom Tuttle Cunningham. I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. I spoke at the Think and Grow Rich Summit in Del Mar, California recently in April of this year, and at the Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia in March of 2012. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 45 years now, and in that time I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced, and been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1", and that's due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. Despite those physical challenges, I always answer amazing when asked how I'm doing, and you can find out more about me at my website. It's Tom, the number 2, and Tall, TALL.com. My guest today is the amazing Ron Stebbleton, who has a new book out, Nowhere But Up. It doesn't matter where you've been. It only matters where you're going. That's the message from my friend, author, and speaker Ron Stebbleton brings to his readers and his audiences. Ron had it all, lost it all, and found a way to come back. It's been said that a setback is a setup for a comeback, and Ron can attest to that. Nowhere But Up is a story and a guide of how God transformed Ron's life during horrific circumstances, and it is a guide for you to do that same. If you have struggled with life, career, business, relationships, finances, and spirituality, Nowhere But Up can help. Personal development expert and fellow Canadian, born in Canada, Brian Tracy says, "This book is full of wonderful insights and a story that will fill you with inspiration, ideas, and the determination to bounce back from every setback to achieve the life that is truly possible for you." You can visit Ron. His website is nowherebutup.us, nowherebutup.us. Welcome to the show today, Ron. Hello?
Hello?
Didn't hit the mic. I didn't hit the mic. Welcome to the show today, Ron.
How are you, Tom?
Amazing. So good to have you, and you're talking about, unfortunately, my favorite topic and the principle, Napoleon Hill principle I speak about most, the learning from adversity and defeat. And this is kind of your story. So this is like a personal book about that. And as we know, we both can learn from adversity and defeat, and we can also encourage, teach, and give some wisdom to others on how we did that and how we got through it. So tell us about your book. It is a personal story for you. Why was it so important for you to write it?
Hi, Tom. It's first of all, thanks again for having me on this afternoon. And the book is a very personal book because, as you said, sometimes we have things that happen to us in life that we certainly don't anticipate, we don't expect to happen, but they do. And the lessons that we can learn from adversity are the kinds of things that we can pass on to others, because so many people go through this and other crises in their life. So it's a personal book for me because I needed to write it for one thing, just to get it out, get the words on paper for me. But I've always been a teacher. I've always been a person who has spent his life in the classroom in front of people speaking and teaching something, and so the teacher in me comes out in wanting to create something for people who just need a boost in their lives. And I did it. I wrote this book, and it very much chronicles the life of a person whose name is Justin in the book. But Justin and I have a lot in common, and the whole point of reading this book for anybody is to realize that it really doesn't matter where you've been, it only really matters where you're going. And if anything, I wrote this book so that other people can have a plan, can have something in their lives to help them move forward, even though they may not think it's possible. And
as we know, there's a lot of people in that position.
Absolutely. You know, and of course, Napoleon Hill is a favorite author of mine, and he often said, you know, what a man believes he can conceive and believes he can achieve. Well, whatever you think, whatever you dwell on, most of all, will come to you, will become a part of your life. And sometimes we actually can bring adversity on because of the way we think. We have to retrain our minds. We have to put ourselves in a new place sometimes. And so regardless of the kinds of things that may be happening or have happened, it's entirely possible to overcome and come back and survive. So I'm happy to be able to do that, to help other people do that and explain, you know, a little bit about what's happened with me along the way. But, you know, as I sit here today in my house and I'm looking out, I live out in the country here in central Ohio, and I'm looking across my yard and there are two baby deer running across. How blessed can I be? And when we say, how are you, Tom, and you say, amazing, that's the mindset that we have to have. That's the kind of mindset that will take you from adversity to success again and again. So,
exactly.
The story of Justin in this book very much chronicles a lot of what happened in my life. There was a time when I was probably one of the top educators in the state of Ohio and well-known across the country. I've been a teacher, I've been an executive, I've been in politics, and it's interesting because I had never in my life suffered defeat. I'd always been able to accomplish everything I wanted to accomplish. And about 5 years ago, defeat happened, and it sent me into a spiraling mode that really almost did me in.
Oh.
And it was pulling myself back up, getting through some of the toughest things that people would ever dream about going through, and deciding that no one was going to make my life better except for me.
Mm.
And Brian Tracy often has said to me, you know, if it's going to be, it's up to me.
Yeah.
And if we're going to make a difference in our lives, then let's do it. And stop with the defeatist attitudes and that kind of thing, because all that does is continually attract that kind of thing to you. And so in the book, I talk a lot about your own mindset and internal quality management. And that's a big part of what you'll learn out of Nowhere But Up.
And there's so many people going through horrible circumstances in this life. As we know, 40% of people live on less than $2 a day. So you can't, geez. You know, there's so many other, not just one circumstance. Now, positive thinking, and I just explored this with someone else I interviewed a few days ago. Can positive thinking, is it really possible to overcome some of these adversities just by positive thinking? And, you know, we decided that yes, because as you and I know, Ron, you have the choice of your thoughts. Every single thought you choose, it's your choice. You either choose it purposely or the world chooses it for you. But people who are going through the worst adversities, we could list some, talk about people that just would probably leave myself ill thinking about them. How can a positive attitude help those people? Because it's in those times where it's the most difficult, no matter how positive you are, to think those positive thoughts.
Yeah, that's That's a very good question, and it's one I think we can talk about for the next hour. having positive thoughts and maintaining positive thinking is the beginning.
Mm.
That's where you start. And I think, you know, everybody loves that movie, The Secret, and The Secret talks about the law of attraction. And Brian Tracy and I have talked about this in the past, too, and the problem with the movie, The Secret, was that they never actually came right out and said that you have to work.
No, not at all.
And thinking is one thing, but thinking with action is what transforms you. And so, you know, thinking positively is an absolute. We know that you have to be that way, but just thinking about it doesn't get it done. And so it's about combining that attitude with positive effort toward achieving what you need to achieve.
Right.
And when you have goals, then you're going to probably be a little bit more apt to act on things, and you will have a better attitude. You're going to have something to strive for.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what we find is that a lot of people really don't have goals. They'll tell you they do. And then they'll tell you that if you say, okay, what are they? They can't necessarily articulate them in any quick fashion. And when they do, it's usually something pretty superficial. So it really takes some time to think through what you want in terms of goals. And only about 3% of the people in the population actually have a set of written goals.
Yeah.
And, which is amazing, because if you just sit down and you start writing your goals, and I write my goals every day, you automatically join the top 3% of people in the world. Well, it is possible to think your way to the next level, and Think and Grow Rich will certainly verify that. But you know, one of the big pieces of success for anybody is action, implementation. Just get to it. Get off the couch and get busy.
Exactly. You know, do something.
Do something. And I always like to constantly question myself, Tom. I ask the question, how?
Yeah.
And that's my favorite question. How am I going to accomplish this? How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to get through? Whatever it may be. But how am I going to move forward? And so many people get to the point where it's not about asking how, it's just, you know, accepting a dismal experience, accepting a chaotic way of life. And we don't have to do that. Even in the toughest situations, we don't have to do that.
Not at all, no.
We can overcome. And a lot of people will try to argue from extremes, you know, this person, there's no way they can, you know, overcome these issues. Well, they can. And, of course, you know, none of us are going to get out of this world alive. But there will become a time that we're probably not going to, you know, live any longer. These bodies aren't meant to live forever. But while we're here, we have a chance. Every time I get a chance to put my feet on the floor in the morning, I've got another shot at it. So a few days ago, I was driving in my car. My youngest son was with me, and Stuart is now 13 years old. And I always like to say that I'm a proud father of two teenagers and so absolutely blessed, because now that they're teenagers, they know everything. And if you've ever been around teenagers, they certainly know it. But he hit the nail on the head the other day, and I was just so touched, because he looked at me and said, "Dad, you've been through so much, but you're the most positive person I've ever known." And that's something coming from a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
So, you know, even though some of the adversities that I've been through, which we don't necessarily have to go into great detail about, but I can tell you they were very difficult to overcome. could absolutely destroy a person. But you have your choice. And that was one of the four laws of success that Hoc Bandino wrote about years ago. The fourth law was choose wisely.
Mm.
You can choose to love or you can choose to hate. You know, you can choose action or you can choose inaction. And you can choose a mindset that is positive or a mindset that is negative. It is your choice. So I just choose positive.
Mm.
And that makes a world of difference in everything that I do.
Amen. And sometimes it takes a lot of effort.
Oh, my, yeah.
But there's always a germ of some kind of hope, and if you don't have that, it's difficult. And I know when I go through surgeries, I know I can get through because I know, okay, for 3 months, it's misery. But after that, I got a plan to get back to life. And so when you don't have that plan after, it's hard to go through the during part. And that's the thing. You got to decide, this is going to ruin me, or I'm still the same person, made a mistake. Let's get back into the game. There's my crazy dog barking in the background. So now, what struggles... people reading this book, and even when you write it, what struggles might someone be experiencing, real tough experiences that Nowhere But Up could help them with?
Well, there are so many. As so many people have lost their jobs in the last several years. They're starting over. They might be middle-aged, and they find that the company is downsized, and they're no longer... able to work. They just don't know what to do without a job, and then as a result of that, there may be family tension. There could be illness that results because of the stress that can create. And so there are so many people out there who have so much to overcome. And, you know, perhaps they've had a relationship that went bad, or a business relationship that went bad. In my case, it was very much a political life that led to some very, very tough circumstances. The realities of it were so harsh that people have asked me, how in the world do you ever expect to recover? And the reality of it is, if you believe that, if you truly believe that, oh my gosh, you know, life is over, it is. So this book is, and somebody came up to me the other day and bought the book and said, I want to give this to my son. He's an addict. She said, will this help him? I said, first of all, I believe it can help him. But secondly, he has to want to help, to be helped. You have to want to get this, and you have to want this message. So, Nowhere But Up doesn't mean that you have to hit bottom. It just means that the way you're going about your life is always up and always going. And so there's a part in the book where I talk about internal quality management and understanding how your mind can really do so much to you. It can do a lot of harm to you and a lot of good.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes illnesses are manifest based on the stress. And sometimes those illnesses actually become, what would debilitate you the most. I talk about, and Brian Tracy and I have had this conversation when he went through his bout with throat cancer. And, you know, when he had gone through a very stressful situation, it was a very business venture that so many people who knew him got into, and it didn't work. And the people, his partnerships, didn't want to listen to him. And, you know, what does Brian do? He speaks.
Yeah, you can't be a speaker with throat cancer.
Right. And so the worst possible thing hit him, you know, because that's what happens. Back in 1996, 1995 actually, the fall of 1995 was when my brother, who was at the time 39 years old, was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer.
Mm.
And he, you know, a young man, he had had a very hard life. He never liked himself. He loved his family, loved everybody, but never loved himself. And he struggled his entire life keeping work and I mean, just one bad decision after another. And he got lung cancer. And I was in the room when the oncologist came in and said, you know, you have stage 4 lung cancer. It's also in your right adrenal gland. And you have about 8 months to live. And that's about how long he lived. Now, over that 8 months, I saw him transform into a man. I saw him transform into somebody that I think he always wanted to be. But physically, it was too late. Now, I believe that, you know, a constant life of negativism probably helped stir that on a little bit. My mother, who was the caregiver and loved us, all of us kids, without any doubt and of course, unconditionally, took care of him. And when he died, she went into a grieving mode that never went away. In fact, within a few years, she was suffering from something, but they couldn't figure out what it was. And about 6 years after my brother died, they finally diagnosed her with a condition called progressive supranuclear palsy. It's very much like Lou Gehrig's disease.
Mm-hmm.
The star Dudley Moore died of that disease. And very rare, and it is, as it says, it's progressive. And they say from the time of onset to the time of death is about 8 years. But, of course, you don't know when it sets on because it takes so long to diagnose. But that's what they believe. Well, my mother died 8 years almost to the day that my brother died.
Wow.
And she grieved and grieved and grieved. And even though, you know, none of us as a parent, I can't imagine losing a child. That's the worst nightmare that you could have. But Mom never learned to get on with it. She, you know, you don't necessarily get over it, but you do get on with it. And what happened, I believe, strongly, is that the disease that actually took her over caused her to be the one who needed the care, caused her to lose the ability to care for others.
Mm.
And so she died in great grief. Now, my sister, on the other hand, who is a few years younger than me, almost 9 years younger than me, she has MS, and about 2 years ago was diagnosed with advanced ovarian cancer. And so we don't have great DNA in terms of that kind of thing in my family. But she decided right away that this is not going to be something that takes her down. And she has fought it, and today is cancer-free. And just had tests done recently and is doing quite well. But it was her attitude. It was her ability to have a nowhere-but-up attitude. And today, you know, she's celebrating some mighty good test results just as of a couple weeks ago. So, you know, our minds can do so much for us. They can actually help create a scenario of success or defeat.
Exactly. You talk about 7 areas of life perspective in your book. What are those 7 areas?
Okay, well, they are your professional life. That's where we spend most of our time, most of our waking hours in our professional life, your financial life, an area of our life that we should spend a whole lot more time on and concentrating on, but most people don't. Our health, our emotions, our relationships, our spiritual life, and our community involvement. Those are the seven areas that I like to concentrate on. And I believe that those areas need to be in balance. And when one of those areas becomes out of balance, the others can be not too far behind. And so many people, for instance, have had things that have happened with their profession, the loss of jobs. Maybe they've had things in their financial life because the stock market crashed and, you know, their whole life savings disappeared overnight, kind of thing. Whatever happens, when something becomes out of balance, the other areas can suffer as well. And when I actually wrote a book before Nowhere But Up, and it was called From Surviving to Thriving. Mm. And I created a model, which is a circle pie graph with seven equal areas. And it was just like a regular piece of pie. It was seven, if you can cut seven pieces yourself evenly, that's great. But computers can do anything. And it turned out to be a very nice model. And I believed in it and still do. But in this, my new book, Nowhere But Up, I changed that model, first of all, to indicate that still those seven areas are important. One piece missing out of any of them can cause disruption in all of them. But I redrew that pie graph, and if you can imagine right in the middle as a hub, like on a bicycle tire, is your spiritual life. And then the other six areas surround it. And when we look at that wheel of life perspective and we begin to operate from our spiritual life first and make decisions from there first, then the decisions that we're going to make for our profession, for our finances, for our health, our emotions, our relationships, and our community are all going to be better. They're going to be more likely decisions that will lead towards success than if not. And that's a piece of what I really came to realize when I was writing the book that had been missing, even though I've always said that I was, I'm a Christian and I play the piano and I have always played the piano for church. I do concerts and all that kind of thing. I've been in church every week of my life. But I really didn't have the spiritual life that I should have. And so it leads to sometimes decisions that aren't so good. And now, as I look at it, and I realize there's a paradigm shift, and for me, it was recreating that wheel and putting that spiritual life as a priority. And so if I make a decision on my professional life, that this is what I'm going to do, if I make a decision on what I want to do in terms of my health, I'm doing this because it's the right thing to do and because, in my view, as a Christian, these are the kinds of decisions that I should make. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I'm glad that you added community service to your seven areas of life. I don't know who the quote is from, but it says, service is the price we pay for our space in this world. And there's some people go years and years and they don't serve anybody. They don't help anybody. They're not thankful for being blessed to be born where they are. And, those type of people wonder how come they're not going anywhere in this life. Well, if you don't serve others, you really, I guess I should say, you really don't deserve a lot of blessings. So community service needs to be part of all-round life perspective. You need to serve others. No matter what circumstance you are in life, you can be of service to other people.
Absolutely. And you don't have to have a lot of money to do that. People think sometimes service means that you're donating or whatever. You can donate your time. You can donate your effort.
Your wisdom.
All kinds of, and sometimes it's exactly that, just wisdom. And so Zig Ziglar said that you'll get out of life what you want when you help enough other people get what they want. And that's true. And community service is a big part of that. And so whatever it turns out to be, I think you have to keep your eyes open for the opportunity. And it's the same thing anytime we talk about the law of attraction. The law of attraction isn't anything that's mystical.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you are aware of and that you think of the right thing. And it sometimes seems magical that things will appear and come to you. But in reality, it's because you're thinking the right things. It's because you're looking for the right things.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be there. So an example is I belong to a local networking group here in Central Ohio, and I went to a breakfast meeting with them yesterday morning. And at the conclusion of that, I was walking by. We were at a Bob Evans restaurant, and I was walking by this long table of it looked like war veterans, you know, some World War II and maybe Korean veterans. They're just a bunch of old guys who were really enjoying their company. And one of them recognized me because he had seen me in concert. And he said, "Hey, how are you doing?" He knows my background. He knows, you know, that life had to start over again. And we had a wonderful conversation. And he said, "I want your card because we want to have you come and do a presentation for us. And I would love to do it. I won't charge them a thing for it because it's a church, and it's something that I have an opportunity to go and do and help with. And so, and if it makes an impact on one person, then we were supposed to do that."
So. Exactly. And it also goes along with Napoleon Hill's rule of going the extra mile. It's something I talk to young people a lot about. If you go to apply for a job, you're one of 10 people or 5 people, and you have someone there who, of the kindness of their heart, is helping people in the community and volunteering and giving of their time and involved in this to help this organization and this person, and you're just someone with actual qualifications for the job, I'm going to hire the guy who is a benefit to the world, his community, to other people, rather than just the guy who shows up with a resume saying, "I can put that widget on that bottle."
That's right.
I want somebody who is actively engaged in making the world a better place and thankful, grateful for the blessings they have. And you can't tie those two together. You can't say if you do voluntarily 100 hours of work to help other people, you're going to get a job, but you know that it will happen. And so young people would prefer the, you know, door-to-door companies looking for people looking for jobs rather than go out and give of their time and service, because you and I know that if you do that, that's where people, hiring people, hang out and work and do stuff. And
right.
So, yeah, it's something that we can tie in, not mathematically, but if you serve enough other people, the world is set up that you meet the right people and get the right jobs, and life works well for you. But you got to give and help before you get in return.
That's right. Because if you give, you will receive.
Amen.
And then some. So.
And then some. Piled on and over and on top of each other. And God doesn't make this a 1+1=2 formula. You help people, and He'll bless you 10 times more. And almost a mathematical formula with God.
Well, absolutely, and it's exponential, really. Because
exponential, yeah. You know, it's beyond math.
There's no way we could do what He can do for us. And so, yeah, the blessings are there. And we don't do it because we want the blessings.
No.
We do it because it's the right thing to do.
Yes.
And you know, because we truly want to help other people. And, you know, I guess having been a teacher all of my life, I've always been in the mindset of helping other people. And, you know, you didn't become a teacher back when I did because you wanted to get wealthy. and they still don't. But, you do become a teacher because you have it within you. There's a desire to help others.
Yeah.
And of course, that is really where all of this comes out. And so, you know, being in community, being involved in your community in some way, in a positive way, will come back and bless you so many times over and over.
Amen. Now, you talked about community, and you talked about being a teacher, and I know that your favorite, or one of your favorite success principles, is number 2 of Napoleon Hill's 17, the Mastermind Alliance. That is something I know you are passionate about. So
I've always been passionate about.
Talk about the Mastermind Alliance, how important that is, maybe the Mastermind group that you're involved in.
Yeah, well, and that's gone through changes, and over time, that's what happens. But you have to surround yourself with people, and they're like-minded. They may not be exactly like you, but they have a desire to help. And
yeah.
So, it's best if you can get yourself associated with a group where you can communicate, if not on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, certainly on a monthly basis, the opportunity to get together to help support each other. And it's an amazing thing that can happen when you're together, because everybody's there. Nobody's there with competition in mind. Everybody's there to help everybody else. And they need to be structured. And there needs to be some kind of order. Of course, I teach systems and I teach order, so I like that.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Me too.
And it makes sense to be that. But, you know, when you put yourself into a group with other people and you begin to talk about it, and let's say you just want to talk about an idea that you have, something that's in your business that you know you you're just trying to do, you're trying to accomplish. There's something that seems to be just slightly out of reach. When you put yourself into a group, you have the ability then to see something magical happen. There's almost like an invisible mind that comes and participates. And it might be God in your presence, but it is certainly a presence. And you know, how many masterminds did Henry Ford participate in? How many masterminds Andrew Carnegie, you know? And to know that people 100 years ago realized the importance of it. And what happens is this: when you take yourself out of that, and I believe you should have a mastermind in your family. I believe you could have a mastermind for your business. You could have a mastermind for your community group. So it isn't just one. You could have several. But when you take yourself out of a mastermind and you decide that it's going to be all about you, that you can start to generate some issues. So we may feel like we know everything that can be done. We don't. And it's the feedback, it's the positive feedback that will help us overcome and create and succeed. And the mastermind will help you do that.
Exactly. And such power in a mastermind group. There's some principles involved. You should meet with them regularly. But in this day and age, meeting could mean phone, could mean email, could mean FaceTime, lots of ways that you can meet with your mastermind. I've adapted mine where I kind of meet with each one individually. Ideally, it should be meeting together in person once a week. But there's so many different variations and ways to set up a mastermind group. But you have like-minded people working in perfect harmony. This is the
right.
Two things you look for.
And you get to be... and at the end of the day, I still love my face-to-face groups.
Mm-hmm.
I get so much out of them. But I have groups that are online as well, and they're very powerful, very powerful. You can create some things in your life that you just never thought possible.
Exactly, exactly. And when you have an amazing mastermind team, everybody does better in their own personal endeavors in life by being part of a mastermind group. And when you get great people together, the synergies and the people they know and the degrees of separation between people that you want to talk with and people they know becomes less and less and less. And so it's one of the most important things. Very few people, or I don't think anybody, is a success on their own. You need to be working with other people. And Mastermind is the most effective, focused, purposeful way of working with other people on your goals while also working on their goals. They're in the Mastermind group too. So other people, you're helping them, and you get a good feeling of service by offering wisdom and other ideas to people with their goals.
Absolutely. It's one of the most powerful tools a person can have and use in their lives.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, what are the best ways to find you? What are the best websites for people to find you? I know I saw YouTube video of you the other day, too.
I've got the YouTube videos I have. But if you go to my website, which is nowherebutup.us,
right.
That has all the ways that you can contact me. And, of course, there is a contact me link on the website as well. So,
okay.
And my email is ron@nowherebutup.us, and my phone number is right there on the website too. I'm not shy, so give me a call. And because I travel anywhere, I speak for any group that wants to have me, and because it's my passion. I tell people I write, I speak, I play. So I write when I can. I have another book that I'm working on called Break Your Limits.
Mm-hmm.
And I speak when I can because I am charged to teach and to help people understand what they can do to overcome, and in some cases help them to understand how they won't necessarily have to overcome if they do some certain things. And also I play, so when I play the piano, a lot of times I'll actually combine the presentations because I think sometimes music has such a dramatic impact on us emotionally, and I get a chance to use that talent as well. So I write, I speak, I play, but nowherebutup.us.
Amen. nowherebutup.us, and the Napoleon Hill Foundation, almost any event that they have or workshop, they start with music. Michael Teleperi, a certified instructor, amazing talent, he usually does the music, but John Kramer, other people. When we do the Labyrinth Walk, we always have music. It really helps you assimilate a lot of things that you're learning by somehow putting those thought waves into really, really nice area. And so music is powerful to combine it with a presentation at the same time. It would just expand the range of emotions that people would feel and their thoughts when you're doing a presentation. So that's a pretty cool thing to be able to add. Like, I wish I had that talent. Like, they asked me not even to hum along in church, you know, and I always have to apologize in the row to the people in the row ahead of me for the noise I'm going to make. So being able to combine that in your talks is a real God-given talent.
It is God-given, and I make no bones about that. And it is, and because it is a given gift, I have to use it.
Amen.
So if you have a gift, that's another piece. You know, you understand what the gift is, work on it, make it better, and use it.
And use it. You've been given it, and if you work on it, it will improve. And if God sees you working on it and recognizing it, believe me, he's going to give you the opportunity to use it.
Yeah, he will. And if you ask him to, look out.
Right. And a lot of times you're asking and ask and take the first three steps and then watch out. The rest of those steps will just be laid out for you.
You bet. You bet.
God has a way of doing that. You ask and you take a little bit of action and God's like, here's this big, beautiful path for you.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I talked about a little bit in the book as well. And I know we're probably getting close on time, but, you know, one of my favorite passages in the Bible is when Jesus says that you can ask this mountain be thrown into the sea and it will be done if you believe. The thing about it is sometimes we have to remember that, and God, and if you believe it, absolutely the mountain will be gone. But sometimes God doesn't just dump the mountain into the sea. He does it a shovel at a time. It's his
time.
Yeah. Sometimes be a little patient, but always believe that it will be there, and it will.
It will. Wow. Powerful messages for people. We know people are going through tough times, North America and around the world. And
well, look at all the scandals that we're involved in right now. Mm. You know, here in the U.S. with everything that you're seeing, and it just seems like, gosh, everything is set for the negative. And you can set yourself apart from that. You don't have to be a part of that. You don't have to accept it. In fact, you don't even have to listen to it. I mean, there are certain things that we don't want to stick our head in the sand about. But we definitely want to make sure that we're living our lives differently than the folks that are creating these scandals. Because that's what sets us apart. That's what will make us successful in spite of all the other things that may be going on around us.
Amen. And so I know the book is on Amazon because I just looked recently. Where else can they buy it?
Well, they can buy it on my website at nowherebutup.us.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon.com is where it was published. And we have just now opened it up for bookstores. So my hope is that within the next month or so, we'll have it approved for Barnes & Noble. But if you have a local bookstore, you can request it, and it can be distributed there as well. So they may not carry it, but if you ask them to, they'll get it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time today, Ron. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to reading the book myself, and I know that your message is going to impact a lot of people.
That's my hope and prayer. Thank you, Tom, for having me on today. And it's good to
have an amazing day.
You too.